Hi there, folks, and welcome to the Big City Slams podcast. Today we have an extra special episode. We have Donche King, one of the big admins for the Geeks and Body Slams group, calling in to the podcast today. I also have Tyler the Oracle, my co-host, as always, but he also will be calling in. So just before we get started, I just want to throw a quick shout out to our sponsors at Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to create a brand new podcast without any expensive equipment. Just go to the Apple App Store or the Play Store and download Anchor. And so without further ado, folks, we're going to go straight to the podcast from here now. Enjoy.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Donche, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a very special episode of the Big City Slams podcast. I don't know if we're supposed to do a ad for Anchor, but I'm going to throw that in. Anchor is a hell of a service that allows scumbags like us to have a podcast on Spotify, Heartland Radio, and various other platforms. We have Donche King, one of the most knowledgeable people you will ever find who's not involved in the wrestling business. He's all the way in Texas, Houston, am I right?
Yes, sir, Houston, Texas.
We got someone from Houston, Texas, Omaha, Nebraska, and someone who's from London, England. So I think it's a... Okay. And long stories cut short, we're going to talk about the right fall of TNA wrestling.
It's always
which could take hours, but we're going to try to cut it as short as we can, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Donche, when did you first start watching TNA wrestling?
I started, I want to say, late 2005. I remember the first segment I saw. It was, I think, the debut of Scott Steiner. Like, they beat up Sting. It was Scott Steiner, Abyss, Jeff Jarrett at AMW. Like, jumping Sting. That was the first segment I ever saw of TNA.
The Big Fat Booty Daddy.
Yes, sir. Big Papa Pump.
So, out of all the signings, well, actually, hold on. Let me ask Daniel. When did you first start watching TNA?
Probably, like, 2007, 2008. One of the big reasons was is when I was watching independent wrestling, we had this local promotion where I'm from in England called WrestleForce. And Doug Williams used to wrestle there all the time. And he actually wrestled his last British independent date before going to TNA at WrestleForce. And so I had to go to my grandparents to watch it because TNA wasn't on any basic channels in the UK at the time, but yeah, that's how I found out. I can't exactly remember what episode I watched or what actually happened during the episode, but I remembered Doug Williams coming out and telling us that he was going to be wrestling there and to tune in. So that's like my earliest memory with TNA.
All right, my first early memory, I believe it was, I was at Grandpa Joe's house, and I'm scrolling, and all of a sudden there's a six-sided ring, and I see Rhino fighting some dude that looks like Mankind, which obviously was Abyss. When I first watched, I was like, what? Oh, shit, 10, 11 years old?
Yeah,
that's how I was.
Out of all the signings that TNA had that was a prior WCW or WWF alumni, who are some of your favorites?
Well, obviously, you got to go with Kurt Angle. Like, his debut with Samoa Joe, that was one of my favorite wrestling moments ever. Just the intensity, the commentary, the crowd. It was just, like, it was a big fight feel. One of the few big fight feels ever experienced watching TNA.
I'd have to say Kurt Angle. I also didn't mind seeing Christian Cage. I also like Bully Ray, and even though I didn't like the whole Aces and Eights thing, I didn't mind seeing Bully Ray in TNA, and Mick Foley, to be honest, didn't mind him in there. And of course, probably my favorite TNA alumni, Booker T.
Yep. What the fuck is that in the background, dude?
Booker T in this African accent.
Yeah. That, he went through a weird thing in TNA, as did a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people when they switch from. Oh yeah, and I liked Ken. I liked Mr. Anderson. I didn't mind
running
TNA. But I feel like a lot of WWE alumni had a hard time dropping the WWE persona and trying to turn into something new on TNA. I feel like a lot of people just weren't used to it.
Not tapping.
Tapping.
You don't hear that?
I don't know. It's probably because I'm playing my game, but is it that loud? Jesus.
All I hear is like.
Well, that's not me. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's not me, but yeah, I'd say Kurt Angle was probably my favorite as well. Consistently good throughout his TNA run. His matches with AJ Styles and Bobby Roode and people like that were just great. And it's a shame that he came back to the WWE in the tail end of his career, because I really feel like he could have done well during that CM Punk 2011 to 2014 era. I feel like he would have fit in quite well.
He had a better retirement tour with TNA than he did with WWE. Jesus Christ.
Him losing to Baron Corbin didn't work for me, honestly. I really, really found it disappointing and underwhelming. And I almost thought that maybe because of all the backlash that he would have, that there would be a swerve to that angle, like maybe someone would come out and help Kurt, or maybe someone would maybe even come help Corbin and make that angle a little bit stronger on his end. But it was just kind of depressing. Kind of the low point to this year's WrestleMania, if you ask me. But yeah, I enjoyed him in TNA. So, he's definitely my favorite WWE alum from in TNA.
Who are some of your guys' worst picks? I'll go with Orlando Jordan. Say he's up there. Yeah. Maybe the Nasty Boys.
Yeah. Well, do you count the Nasty Boys as like a sign-in? Because I think they just came in because of the Hogan, you know, tour thing got canceled, I guess. And they was on the tour.
They were on Impact on live TV beating other tag teams. I'd consider that a signing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they beat the Dudley Boys on pay-per-view. Like, seriously?
Yeah, they beat the fucking Dudley Boys.
Freaking Val Venus.
Daniel smoking.
Well, he went by Sean Morley in TNA, his real name, but Val Venus is another guy.
That was terrible. I remember him cutting a promo. I'm like, what are you doing out there, man?
He beat Christopher Daniels on pay-per-view right after Christopher Daniels had a championship match with AJ Styles.
I never liked Val Venus. I'm sorry, Tyler. Yeah,
that was freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, I never liked Val Venus. I didn't like him in the WWF. And I didn't like him in TNA either. Just kind of lackluster. And for him to Christopher Daniels is just another one that's just, you know, underwhelming and didn't, number one, didn't draw a dime, and two, didn't benefit anybody. Obviously, it didn't benefit him, and definitely didn't benefit Christopher Daniels. So, yeah, I was never really too keen on Val.
Yeah, Berica.
How'd you... So, Don Shea, I remember where I was. I remember my thought into going into the second Monday Night Wars. Did you have any thoughts leading up to that January 4th show in 2010?
To be honest, it was just, I was excited that a lot of new people was coming in, because obviously I was, how old was I? 2010, I was probably like 14 years old. So you got all these big stars coming in. You're thinking like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome. But then it was like, as soon as you watch it. But yeah, like leading up to it, I was super excited because I was like, Hulk Hogan's coming in, Eric Bischoff's coming in. This is going to be pretty cool. Can't wait to see like what is this going to lead to, because TNA was on the rise at that point. So I had high expectations, obviously.
I remember flipping the channel to WWE, and there was like a 3-man tag with like the Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
watching that episode in my grandpa's shed. Did you have any thoughts leading into that second war, Daniel?
I thought TNA. I'm going to be completely honest. At the time, I really kind of felt the same way I do now about AEW. Mostly I felt really excited. TNA had Kurt, they had the Hardys, they had, who else they have in 2010?
Jeff debuted on that episode.
Yeah.
Well, returned, I should say.
Yeah, he did. So, like, my thought was that they've got all these incredible wrestlers there. They had people like they had some pretty good people there that could write stories just as well as WWE could. But I thought that TNA at the time was gonna be an actual threat to the WWE, just that they had.
Yeah, they had a better roster than WWE at the time, and WWE had no future, really. As far as, like, talent.
Actually, WWE did have a future. It was half of the Impact roster.
I mean, yeah, like, look into it, but at the time, freaking Lucky Cannon was considered to be one of the futures of WWE.
I forgot about Lucky Cannon. He looked like a really, really small version of Bo Dallas or Adam Cole.
Oh, man. And what a horrible name, like Lucky Cannon.
That's a whole nother can of worms, man.
Yeah, that's another story. Got to get into another time.
What was that triple threat match? Was it It was Daniels, AJ, and someone else in that cage.
In a cage match.
Yeah, that fucking black dude like walked on the cage and did a Hurricane Rana off it.
Oh, Elix Skipper.
So
yeah, dude,
I'm reading.
That's one of my.
I'm reading.
Go on.
I'm reading the roster for the January February 2010 roster, and the Young Bucks are on it.
Generation Me.
Totally forgot they were in there, dude.
Yeah, Generation Me. I remember that to a T. I remember them debuting, and I could have sworn were they feuding with Daniels and Kazarian? I could have sworn, because I remember someone telling them the Hardys called in the 90s. They want their outfits back.
They never really had a feud with them. They probably had like a match with them, but they didn't have a feud. They feuded mostly with like Motor City Machine Guns. That was really the only memorable feud they ever had. And
Chris Sabin's a coach at the Performance Center now.
I freaking love Chris Sabin. That's freaking awesome. I've always been a big fan of his.
Triple H has been picking up some good names for his brand, I'll tell you that, but we're not trying to get into them.
Yeah, Jeremy Borash down there too, who is another really
good. Yeah, and Jeremy Borash.
He is super underrated. A super underrated guy in the wrestling.
Yeah, he really is. He had a lot to do with the Broken Universe.
Yeah.
a lot.
And he pretty much did everything in the company. Like, he would help produce. He did commentary, backstage stuff.
Announce?
Yeah. He was a ring announcer. He was an unsung hero. As far as TNA.
Yeah, he really was. I if I was Triple H, I would have signed him too.
Yeah, I seen him like when I went to NXT. He was doing the camera work, as far as I remember. Yeah, he was doing like some of the camera work. He has his own little camera.
If you think about it, Vince owns TNA, so Dixie Carter's worked there. Everyone, Jeff Jarrett is working there now. Kurt Angle, Booker T, everyone.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode.
Eric Young.
Yeah, he's Brian not doing Kendrick. Shit. Oh, I forgot about Brian Kendrick.
Me and Dan were watching Raw at the Bar, and we thought Mike Kanellis was Eric Young.
Oh yeah, God. Dude. I looked at him. I'm like, is that Eric Young or Kanellis? It was one of the two. I didn't know it was Kanellis until Maria got in the picture.
Eric Young's fucking tatted.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was him.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, dude, the 2010 roster was so promising, man. It's almost disappointing how TNA looks. Well,
now? But,
well, no, I'd say TNA is on the up and up at the moment. But two, 3 years ago, when they were bouncing between networks, they were going broke. They didn't really have a roster. Like,
well, if you know the story, let me tell it. Have you heard the story about the email Dixie Carter sent that got them off of Spike?
Which one? You know, there was two email mistakes that they did.
let's have Don Shea explain it. He'll explain it a lot better than me.
Okay, the Spike thing was Vince Russo, right? Yeah. Was the Pop TV one. Like, okay, so Vince Russo, like, for the longest time, like, Dixie Carter would tell people, Vince Russo doesn't work with us anymore. Vince Russo doesn't work with us anymore. And Vince Russo, who was secretly consulting for TNA, was intending to send a message to Mike Tenay and Taz, but accidentally sent it to Mike Johnson of PW Insider. And pretty much fucked up the whole thing with Spike TV. Spike TV said, we told you, no Vince Russo. You're done with this shit.
You're fine.
And I remember Taz, like, getting on Twitter talking about, just stay away from us, man. Fucking ruining our shit.
Yeah.
Go on about the Destination America one.
Oh, yeah, when Dixie Carter... she accidentally tweeted like the president of this is shit talking Destination America.
Yeah, she said they don't know what they're doing, and that's why the ratings are low. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
That's rich coming from anybody that's associated with TNA. Another few names that were there around that first Monday night show. They had Matt Morgan, Samoa Joe, Ric Flair, Rob Van Dam, Tommy Dreamer, Sting, Suicide,
I know Austin Aries for sure.
Nah, Aries didn't come into like mid or late 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don Shea's correct on that.
Yeah, it's still RH.
Yeah. Kazarian.
Yeah. You had, what's his name? Nigel McGuinness, who was Desmond Wolf in TNA.
Yeah, Nigel. I've seen Nigel wrestle so many times. It's not even funny. Like, he used to run. He's like the John Cena on the British independent scene for a long time. For a long time. He was it. I've seen Nigel wrestle quite a bit. But yeah, Desmond Wolfe. When did Jay Lethal get there?
Jay Lethal been there since like 05, and then he left 2011.
Yeah, how the fuck did you let that guy go? Like, what was going? I remember Bobby Roode cut a promo about that on Hogan too.
Yeah, like how do you let Jay Lethal go? Like he could have been their future, but they booked him like shit.
Like, yeah, him and AJ both got fucked, if you ask me. And those are the two.
At least AJ had a good run.
Yeah, did you like that no one emo depressed gimmick he had?
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed that a lot.
A very depressed AJ.
Yeah, it was good because, like, that I feel like really showed everybody that, okay, AJ can actually go to the next level because he started wrestling a lot differently. He started becoming more technical, whereas at first he was more of a high flyer. Like, that's when we really start to see a change in AJ as a performer. Like, the AJ that we saw in New Japan, in ROH, the second run, and now in WWE. That was kind of like the start to that.
Which was brilliant. I loved AJ's run in Ring of Honor in New Japan. I watched more of his Ring of Honor stuff, sadly.
Yeah. Like, that, like, he had, like, a fantastic run during that time. Like, he completely reinvented himself. And pretty much, like, you would think, like, someone like AJ, you know, okay, what is there left for him to, you know, improve on? Well, he slowed down a bit. He became a lot more technical. He added some more moves, like the calf crusher or calf killer, as they used to call it.
The, I do remember my first big TNA pay-per-view that I ever saw. I was at a friend's birthday party and they actually ordered this pay-per-view. It was No Surrender in 2010.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up the card now. But yeah, you had like the Motor City Machine Guns versus Generation Me. Douglas Williams and Sabu, Velvet Sky, Madison Rayne, Abyss versus Rhino, Jeff Jarrett and Samoa Joe versus Kevin Nash, Sting, AJ Styles.
I think one of the best rivalries that company ever had was Gail Kim and Awesome Kong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I completely agree.
In my humble opinion, that was one of the best things that company ever produced.
Probably the best female wrestling feud, probably, well, I don't want to say ever, but definitely within the last 25 years. Probably ever.
I'd say almost ever, especially in-ring-wise.
Yeah, like you can legit have that match main event a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and it actually would look nice and not botchy.
Yeah. Like, Awesome Kong is like a badass monster heel. Gail Kim as a classic underdog, who was one of the best female wrestlers ever.
Of all. I know where this is supposed to be about TNA. Do you think Trish Stratus is one of the best ever?
Yeah. I would say.
That's deep. Yeah. So back to TNA, what was your opinion on the Legends Championship?
The Legends Championship, like, as the introduction for it, I thought it was cool, like, having Booker T have it, like, his own championship. But then, like, after he lost it, I feel like they should have, like, transitioned it to, like, a TV title, which they transitioned the name, like, 5 times. Like, first it was the Legends, then the Global, then the TV. Then the King of the Mountain Championship. There's too many name changes.
What was the one that Billy Corgan did?
The Grand Championship?
Yeah, they tried to do rounds. That ain't going to work in a wrestling match, bub.
Yeah, that's really not going to work. You should learn that from Brawl.
Brawl, that's being covered in the new Vice documentary.
Yeah, I heard about that. And Chris Benoit.
Again, a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah. Just speaking briefly on, like, just the Benoit topic, do you think they'll ever make a movie? Because I've bought...
Yeah, they already are. It's called Crossface.
But they've been talking about that movie for almost, like, 10 years now. I remember reading about that movie in high school.
Yeah, me too.
So, I don't know. I just feel like it needs to be gone and buried. I think it's really over... I think it's just talked about too much and it just needs to be done and over with, especially on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, it's a worn out topic. Like, and it just blows my mind that there are people that really think that he didn't do it, like, or got murdered. Like, just blows my fucking mind.
A lot of people are in denial because they love him so much.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was a good wrestler, but, you know, so was you know, but yeah, let's get back on topic.
How the fuck did you get to Chris Benoit when it comes to TNA? I'm super fucking confused.
But what did you guys think of Bound for Glory that year?
Oh, what year?
2010.
That first big year.
I love the main event. That triple.
Isn't that the one where Jeff turned?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something.
And what else? Oh yeah, I remember the whole card. Like, I remember Jay Lethal and Douglas Williams had a pretty good match.
Douglas Williams is one of the unsung heroes. Him and Magnus.
Oh man, Doug Williams is like crazy underrated.
I love the British Invasion as a tag team.
Yeah, me too. I love the theme song as well.
How did you feel about World Elite?
I felt like it was stupid because, first of all, Eric Young as like the leader. It's like he's supposed to be like the serious leader when we know him as like the goofy guy who falls down and takes a bump every time his pyro went off. So,
which was hilarious.
Yeah, which was hilarious. But it's like, how are we supposed to take this guy? It's like they were trying to really push him as like a main event guy. But they had him like feud with Kevin Nash and everything. It's like, I mean, if you're
gonna
push
him. They should put Kevin Nash in the shield.
Yeah, it's like if you want to push him through the mid card. Don't freaking like throw him into the main event scene. But him as the leader, like, they had a lot of good talent in there. Like, yeah, wasn't Homicide in it for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken?
Really? I don't remember that, because Homicide was one of my favorite. Leo Fernandez. I have no clue, dude.
Yeah, I know they were feuding with, like, freaking Hernandez for a little bit, because I remember Hernandez fucking beating the shit out of Eric Young on one pay-per-view.
Hernandez, in my opinion, should have been one of their world champions, at least.
Well, around the time they pushed him, like, it was super weird because they was pushing Matt Morgan, Hernandez, and Rob Terry all at the same time. You got to have, like, three big dudes who you have to book similarly around the same time. Like, it's going to be, like, super complicated to do it that way.
Kind of like on Raw, what they're doing with Braun, Bobby and Strowman. I said Braun, yeah. Bobby and Strowman. I meant Braun, Bobby and Drew.
Yeah. It's like you had like three of them all in a group together, all beating up Braun Strowman. But yeah, it was like crazy weird because you threw Matt Morgan and Hernandez in a tag team, which to me baffles me because Matt Morgan was wrestling Kurt Angle at Bound for Glory and now he's in a random tag team with Hernandez. It's like you completely fucked. I mean, he's been stopped and pushed and stopped and pushed so many times, and TNA was absolutely ridiculous.
Who was some of your guys' favorite tag teams throughout TNA?
Ooh. Of course, Motor City Machine Guns is my absolute favorite. AMW, America's Most Wanted.
Um, I guess this really ain't a tag team, but this is more of a faction. I didn't mind the main event Mafia.
Oh man, I love the main event. Oh, well, I guess Booker T and Scott Steiner was a tag team, so that counts. Yeah, I love the main event Mafia. It was just done the wrong way. It's like I love the concept behind it and like all the people involved, but it's like you completely botched it up big time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite rivalries, and it was a series of matches, was the Dudleys, the Hardys, and the American Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was such good shit.
I like Beer Money. Beer Money was a good tag team.
There's another rivalry they pissed out the window.
Yeah.
Because when Bobby turned heel and he bashed the beer in the Cowboy's eyes, I marked out. I was really happy because I knew that was going to be one of the best rivalries we were going to see. And it didn't even last a month, it felt like.
Well, it stopped, and then it started again, then it stopped, and then it started again that same year. It was like they had an awesome match of Lockdown 2012. It was bloody, you know, freaking the way Bobby Roode won the match. Like, it made James Storm still look strong, and then he took some time off, and then he came back and fought him again at Bound for Glory in another great match.
Correct.
Yeah, like it was a pretty good few. It was just they stopped and started it way too much in that one year.
Is he still in Impact?
No, he's in NWA right now.
James Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he just become their mid card champ?
Yeah. Was it the national champion?
I believe so. I'm really upset.
Yeah, he beat Colt Cabana for the title. I believe that's what it's called.
Colt Cabana in NWA. That's something I didn't think I would ever see, honestly, because he's a comedy guy, and NWA is not comedy, at least from what I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a good wrestler. He puts on good matches. I've liked a lot of his stuff that he's done in Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He's a great wrestler.
Another great question I have for you two to keep things rolling that's not Chris Benoit. How did you feel about the gut check?
I thought it was an awesome concept, actually. Like, they actually introduced a lot of great concepts during that year, like Open Fight Night, where you call somebody out, they have to fight you, which was pretty good, and it's a pretty interesting concept because how many times we've seen that in wrestling?
I think that was a Hulk Hogan idea, at least in kayfabe.
Yeah, I like that concept because how many times in wrestling somebody calls somebody out and then they don't come out, or they come out and they just talk? But I like that concept of Open Fight Night. Gut Check was a great way to like introduce like new talent. I like that idea.
Yeah,
we got Joey Ryan from that, just a heads up.
I think I didn't mind Gut Check either. Yeah, it was a good way to get new people in there. But it's another one that I feel that could have been a lot better utilized. But that's just my opinion on it.
It felt like what WWE should have did with NXT when they had the whole game show concept in their fucking head.
Yeah, I definitely say it was better than the original NXT, but I still feel like they could have used that segment a lot better.
I just felt one of my favorite things that TNA ever did, and I wish WWE would just fucking steal it because TNA won't do it, is the Bound for Glory series.
Oh, yeah. Like, the idea of, like, I like the Bound for Glory series because it was, like, well, how long it lasted? Like, 4-6 months, probably? It's, like, you had, like, a series of matches. It was, like, a ranking system. It's, like you gave, like, your top guys something to do. Like, if you had nothing to do with, like, some of your top guys, just throw them in the Bound for Glory series, and every match they have on TV will be meaningful.
Believe it or not, gentlemen, believe it or not, Mr. Road Dogg, wins and losses matter.
Yes.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a concept maybe AEW could utilize since they're using a rank system anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't Eric Bischoff introduce a top 10 ranking system, if I'm correct, on TV?
Hmm?
He had the top 10. He even brought out a cute little chart.
What was this in WWE?
This was in Impact.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that, Ebo.
Well, it's worth a Google. I'm 95% sure it happened.
Gotta be 100%.
What is your opinion, both of you, on In the Prime, of course, because right now it's dead, of the X Division?
I'm gonna let you go first, Dan.
What was the question? One sec.
Once again,
hi boys.
What was your opinion on the X Division in its prime?
I loved it. I thought the X Division was great. I liked it. It was booked way better than any of the mid-card titles in WWE at the time, because the US and the Intercontinental for the longest time didn't mean shit. To me, the X Division title was great. I always like AJ Styles with it.
Mr. King.
Yeah, it was pretty much like a modern day cruiserweight division, but it was kind of like more evolved. But one thing I did like about the X Division is a lot of X Division guys actually moved to the next level as far as like main event status within TNA, which I did like guys like Chris Sabin, Austin Aries, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Like, it wasn't like
Samoa Joe's an example of that tagline. It's not about weight limits, it's about no limits. And Samoa Joe in his prime, Jesus fucking Christ.
Man. I mean, he was absolute beast in 05. Like, his matches with CM Punk and ROH. Either that triple threat match between him, Christopher Daniels, and AJ Styles at Unbreakable 5 is held as one of the greatest triple threat matches ever.
Any favorite? Go on.
Christopher Daniels, his run with the X Division title in 06.
Yeah.
Brian Kendrick, I didn't mind Austin Aries when he had it either. I thought this was my senior year of high school when he had it twice, and Austin Aries had it twice, and I thought he did a good job then as well.
Yeah. His run in 2011, 2012 for that X Division title, that to me was probably one of the best X Division championship runs during that whole Hogan era.
Not going to lie, I kind of mocked out when I heard Rockstar Spud won it.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask something else, but the Rockstar Spud EC3 dynamic was one of the best long-term storytelling in wrestling I can remember in general the past 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, and that's something that...
For the two guys who don't scream main eventer, you know, and who weren't main eventing the program, they made the show. They were one of the best rivalries I think TNA ever produced.
Oh, yeah. You got an underdog and... Rockstar Spud, who people can get behind. And then you got EC3, who was like a super douche heel. Like, it was perfect.
Do you think that MJF will be what EC3 could have been? Kind of on topic?
Yeah, he's just a bit like, I feel like MJF's a better talker than he is already. And that kid's so young. He's younger than us. I think he's like 22.
23.
That being said, I like EC3, and I liked EC3 in Impact, but like, I just feel like MJF's way better, and that's just my honest opinion.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
Especially now.
Do we have any favorite matches off the top of our heads that involved Ultimate X, which is one of my favorite matches they've ever produced in general? I love the concept. Just love it.
The one at Bound for Glory 2009. It has...
Who was in that? You want to pull the clip up, Jamie?
It was Machine Guns, Suicide, who was being played by Kazarian at the time. You had Homicide, he had Amazing Red. I remember because Christopher Daniels and Suicide took this crazy bump off of it. It looked like Christopher Daniels could have broke his neck. Like he fell from the top of like the thing, like from the scaffold part, if I'm not mistaken. And it looked like he almost broke his neck right there. But it was a fun, fast-paced match to kick off the show. Like, that's one of my favorites, mainly because it's mainly the first ones that come to mind when I think of the match.
Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money had a good X match on the... On him.
What did you think about, and correct me if I'm wrong on the name, the Asylum match?
Isn't that the WWE version of that match?
No, from what I'm trying to gather is it was basically a cage match, but the goal was to leave. Well, the goal was to get in, wasn't it?
What?
No.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. Come on.
I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know about the get in the ring part. I thought they already started inside.
I could have sworn they had to battle to get in. Some weird shit. Anyway, do you have any opinions on the... Any opinions on the King of the Mountain match? Felt like a clusterfuck to me, but...
It took me forever to understand the rule. To this thing again, and I watched the match like 5 times.
He said I watched the match like 5 times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I think TNA's had a lot of concepts that are kind of difficult to understand. Most recently for me was that Grand Champion, where they had rounds and
the round, yeah,
you had judges and stuff like that. It was the belt they did, and Damian Sandow.
It's an interesting concept, but I don't think it just wasn't executed properly. I don't think it could have been executed.
Well, it's just an example of a concept that TNA has had that was really not easy to grasp. Like,
TNA had a lot of those.
Yeah, it's quite apparent, you know, which leads me to my next question. What really, what really triggered the demise of TNA? Do you feel it was Hulk Hogan? Do you think it was more Dixie Carter?
Can you
want to go first? It's been kind of like skipping out a little bit.
Can you guys?
Yeah.
No, skipping.
I can hear you. Uh-oh. I got to add him back. I've always thought the TNA has had some weird ideas, but I just think, you know, that company just went on the decline after leaving Spike, and it's a shame where they got. I started watching, I quit watching for a while, but then I started watching again with Money Matt. I like Money Matt a lot.
Yeah, that's when a lot of people really started to pay attention again, was like when Matt Hardy became like more of a focal point, like the Money Matt and the Broken Matt stuff, like that got eyes back on the company.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I really like Money Matt, and then eventually the whole Broken Matt program. But what I'm going to do is we're going to cut to a quick break. I'm going to re-add Tyler and you, and we can continue this conversation.
Sweet.
All right. So we'll be right back.
I am back.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Big City Slams podcast. We are here talking about the past, the present, the glory, the current, and the past status of TNA Impact Wrestling.
I want to speak a word.
Yes, we are.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I agree with you, Donche. I think it's a pretty spot-on analysis of TNA. There's a lot we can talk about when it comes to,
what do you think about Jim Cornette's first run? Second, I popped for that one.
His first run, I enjoyed it because, you know, he was an authority figure, and like that was the actual good period of TNA. So yeah. Until Riz Russo came back.
Bro.
Yeah, bro. When Vinny Roo came back, it went all downhill from there.
That is a hell of a podcast for anyone who doesn't listen to Jim Cornette. Hear about his TNA years. I found that.
It's one he did with Matt Stryker, like a sit-down interview. It's like an hour and a half long, and he just goes over his whole TNA run, and it's one of my favorite shoot interviews ever.
Yeah. He's the king of shoots. So, I mean, it's not hard to believe that he is one of the best.
One thing that's kind of hard to believe is that Sting wanted to retire many, 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 many years ago, and Dixie just kept offering him more money.
Yeah, he wanted to retire and end up wrestling another 10 years.
Donche, what's your thoughts on the Sting versus Jeff Hardy match?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess that was kind of a positive step for Jeff Hardy, because after that match, that's what made him go sober. So, I mean, like, some good came, but what? Okay, not sober. Especially what just happened recently, but you get my point. Like, it helped turn his life around, basically.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's a positive that came out of that.
He looked like he was having so much fun in his entrance.
Man, he stumbled going up those steps. Even Sting, like, you can look at Sting, he was just like, oh, what the fuck, man. Like, you can hear, like, one of the fans say, this is bullshit, and Sting go up to him and say, yeah, I agree, it is.
What are some of your guys' favorite Sting matches?
Ooh.
I like the one that he had with Kurt.
At Bound for Glory 07?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that one, because I'm a big Sting fan, and a really big Kurt Angle fan, for that matter. But Sting was big. I love Sting. I didn't know a lot W people, because my dad was a WWF guy and I watched what he watched, but I always needed to see what Sting was up to.
Sting versus Samoa Joe at Bound for Glory 08.
Sting had a lot of good matches there, man. He had a lot of good matches. But did you think Joker Sting? That was a real thing. You know, you remember Joker Sting.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it was awesome because that's when he really, like, reinvented himself. He added another depth to his character. And his promos are really good as well when he was Joker Sting.
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty good. What did you think of that Hogan's match at Bound for Glory?
I mean, I only liked the end part of it, like when Hogan turned face and beat up Immortal. Like, that was really the only part I liked about that match.
Okay, so you were saying.
Yeah, we was talking about Joker Sting.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was saying, like, his promos got a lot better. During his whole TNA run, his promos were really good.
I thought his promos were brilliant. It's just different because that's like the Sting I grew up with was TNA Sting. I'll be honest with you, because it's impossible.
Yeah,
I wasn't around. Like, I thoroughly remember Sting at the WWE, but I thoroughly remember Sting at TNA. I grew up with that. And I thought,
yeah, me too.
The Sting run that I had as a kid, I thought was brilliant. I never felt like he was boring, or his matches were boring, or uninteresting, or he was uninteresting. The Main Event Mafia was the only weird thing to me that felt off-putting. It didn't make sense for him being in there.
Well, when he first, like, when that storyline first started, like, he was a full-out heel. But they fucked it up because they kind of tried to make him a tweener. So
yeah,
it would have worked if it went full heel. Because leading up to that Main Event Mafia thing and the match with Joe at Bound for Glory, like, he was healing it up. And that's, like, that storyline has some promise, really. It was just that
Sting as a heel just never made sense to me.
Yeah.
My craziest reaction was when Sting, when Rob Van Dam debuted and Sting hit him with a bat one.
Man, he hit him with a bat for like 5 minutes straight. Literally, I'm not even over exaggerating that.
Yeah, dude, he beat the piss out of RVD, dude. The piss.
Who was back in Impact, by the way?
Yeah.
In fact, who appeared on Raw. I tell you, it's kind of crazy how Impact has had all these different people who've owned it and have run it, but they've always had a decent relationship with WWE.
Yeah.
I think the greatest thing, and it was, I don't even think it was Impact that made it, obviously, but they gave the platform to one of the greatest things in professional wrestling history, the Broken Universe.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I think that's like the last really big thing that they've done. And that was in a period where Impact was in the toilet.
Drew over a million viewers. That shit drew.
Yeah, it did.
That no one gave a fiddler's fuck about. People cared about the Broken Universe, Broken Matt, Brother Nero, and King Maxwell, who I'm assuming is going to be a 24/7 champion at some point.
Wouldn't surprise me.
King Maxwell, of course. He's one of the greatest to grace the ring.
What was your favorite, I guess you call them episodes, of the Broken Universe while it was in TNA?
I like the part where the kids come up for trick-or-treat, and he goes, "Green beans!" Hilarious.
I mean, you got to go with the classic, you know, Final Deletion.
Yeah, I was going to say the Final Deletion's great.
I like when he's introducing you to the monkeys. This is Matt and Nick, my spot monkey.
Oh, man, that's...
I think their really brief Ring of Honor run was really good as well.
The Hardys?
Yeah.
But they have, like, one match?
thought they had a little run.
Oh yeah, they sure did. I'm sure.
They won the tag team titles and they lost them. They dropped the titles literally the day before they came out at WrestleMania.
And the funny thing is, Impact, although they didn't do it, they didn't keep it up. They didn't let the Hardys be the broken Hardys.
Yeah, I remember that.
But Matt Smart had little subtleties.
Yeah, he did the same thing when WWE before they allowed him to do the broken thing.
Yeah, you give really more credit, obviously, Matt. But it was an Impact platform. Also, roping back to Jeremy Borash, who helped with that a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like when it went to the WWE, it got Vinced. So,
yeah.
It became good
shit. Eventually. It took
such good shit. But back to Impact.
Another great thing to come out of Impact is all the Steiner Mania videos.
Man.
White trash and rednecks.
Helen from Dunkin' Donuts.
From the great state of obesity.
Team 3D.
All hailing from Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know who they are, but they're a bunch of candy asses.
Yeah, dude, this Scott Steiner run was great.
The fact that Scott Steiner was able to be Scott Steiner 110% is, let's be honest, Scott Steiner versus Samoa Joe. You show a wrestling fan that, they're going to think it's the greatest thing on earth.
Just for the promos. Not even for the wrestling.
Yeah, not even for the wrestling dudes. Stop! I'm working off!
Fat asses!
Fat asses!
I'll do you an egg.
I'll do him an egg! In all honesty, he's a really nice dude. At least he was to me.
You've met him multiple times, haven't you?
Once when I was a kid, and once when I was an adult.
Did you tell him?
Yeah. That's all I said. I was like, I said, in Omaha, I was like, this old boy scared shitless of you, but we took a picture. It was nice to do this again. He goes, that was a long time ago, man, but it's good to see you again. And I was like, I think I said, all right, big bad booty daddy, and just walked away. That's the dude, man. That's one of the funniest human beings to walk the earth.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, it's
the Steiner brothers even reunited in TNA.
Oh yeah, they did. They had a little run.
I'm making this a tables match because tonight we're gonna beat you at your own game. Of course, the infamous Scott Steiner math promo.
Oh yeah,
which happened. Which obviously wasn't a TNA thing. That was just Scott Steiner being the god that he is, skewing off at the mouth.
The fact that he just remembered all that is just absolutely. Yeah, all them numbers I would have fucked up.
It's bad, dude. I mean, I watch it a lot. Dan got irritated, but I don't give a fuck, dude. Scott Steiner's my boy. He's well. If you want to talk about current Impact Wrestling, he's been teaming with Big Petey Pump.
Hey.
So, moving on to a different subject, what are your guys' opinions on the six-sided ring?
That's a good one. I like it. I mean, I've heard so many wrestlers in many ways complain about it, but just as a fan who doesn't have to take those bumps, I like it, but I feel like it's not for main eventers, it's not for traditional wrestling. That felt specifically like it should have been just for the X Division. But I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's possible to swap rings like that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But yeah, I agree with Tyler said.
So it's easier to buy the house.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks.
This ain't the Polar Express.
But what are your opinions on the six-sided ring, Donje?
I agree with what Tyler says. Like, as a fan, I thought it was awesome. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, holy shit, a six-sided ring, that's pretty cool. But, like, when you hear about the wrestlers talk about it, like, they don't like it because it's not very bump-friendly. Obviously, it changes your opinion on it, but to me, I always still thought it looked awesome. It still does to me.
Whenever I look at the six-sided rings and I see the turnbuckles, I don't know how the hell they stand up on those because they're so wide.
Yeah.
And like I watch a little bit of AAA, and I will tell you this, dude. Like AAA, there's a shit ton of botches in AAA, dude.
What was your opinion on the ramp where it was leveled to the ring? They brought that back during the Hogan era too.
I didn't like that. I don't like that ramp at all. I feel like smaller, like Hulk indie Hogan promotions. Buddha. It's like I get it, but it's like for like TNA, I didn't really like it at all. It just looks stupid.
Felt off, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like to me, it kind of, I don't know. I don't like the entrances with it.
If you want to give credit to an entrance that All Elite Wrestling is doing, even though it was popularized in other places, we know Impact didn't do it, but the two entrances for the heels and the faces.
Yeah.
I love that. That was one of the things that made me really like TNA that actually made sense. Because you think the good guys and the bad guys wouldn't be in the same backstage area because they hate each other.
Yeah.
But they come out the same entrance and they just wait in different corners. Or, you know, it's weird.
So yeah, it was on different sides of the building.
Did you like when Impact finally went to four sides during the Hogan era? That was another Hogan thing, which I kind of agreed with, really.
I mean, well, it was done for the wrestlers, but like as a fan, it was like I grew up on that six-sided ring in TNA. I was kind of disappointed. But as I got older and I found out about the six-sided ring, about the wrestlers, how they feel about it, then that's kind of like, okay, I get it now why they did that. I respect the decision. But at the time, I was really disappointed. I can't hear you guys. Did you guys cut out? Holy hell.
All right, folks. So we're going to do this last segment and wrap up because we are in an unideal location at the moment, and that's why we're having so much technical difficulties. So, yeah.
Wrestling.
Any last questions?
Well, each of us acts like one of our own personal questions about TNA.
All right, well, I'm going to give that to Tyler first.
Oh, man, I'm just nervous.
I'm excited. I've got one. Let's talk about Impact today real quick. Do you think Impact today could reestablish itself as a major contender with AEW and WWE?
No. I mean, they don't need to do that anymore because they've already failed at that. If anything, they just need to establish themselves as like a solid, like middle-sized promotion. Like they need to be the new ROH, basically. Like take over that spot.
Yeah, I would have to agree because ROH looks like it's going down the toilet pretty quick.
Do you think Impact and ROH should do a sponsorship? Apparently, there was a pederast in Ring of Honor, and that's what split that.
Damn.
I hope I'm wrong, but I could have sworn that's why. Because didn't Impact and Ring of Honor have a thing back in the day?
They were on Destination America today together, but I don't know if they worked together.
Yeah, I don't know. They have a pretty decent roster right now, and I mean, like, their pay-per-views, from what I've been hearing, have been getting better and better. So, you know, I think that, yeah, they could be a contender with Ring of Honor and be a pretty solid alternative to the big companies. And hopefully what I think they could do is that hopefully they build up some new talent and use that to their advantage over the next few years, because there's a lot of new talent and there's a lot of new promotions that are just that are on their level. Just look at MLW.
Yeah.
I mean, so I hope Impact is successful. Like, I'm really glad that they didn't fold and they.
Yeah, me too. They're the cockroach.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, they got such a bad like rep, like their name is like so tainted. Is like, even though they're doing,
they should get a name change, really.
Yeah, it's like people, like, they've gotten a lot better, but they got the TNA stench on them, so it's like people aren't going to give it a chance anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. Tyler, do you have a question?
Yeah, apparently if All Elite Wrestling wasn't a thing, Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho were going to go there.
Wow. I would just say the New Japan.
Jericho was, I think, almost confirmed. They offered him like $1 million for like five matches. I think he said it himself, like $1 million for like five matches.
Which is crazy.
Which is, do it.
Yeah.
Because Don Callis was obviously promoting it when the fans behind him were going, Jericho, Jericho. And it's a Canadian-based promotion, and Don Callis and Jericho are really good friends.
Yeah.
If Impact and All Elite ever do a co-promotion, they should get Don Callis to do some commentary on there.
Maybe we get Don West and Mike Tenay. Or one of them.
So I'm surprised no one's tried swiping them. Is Mike Tenay like too old now? I doubt it.
He's not that old. I think he just tuned out of wrestling. He's not like Mike, oh my lord, like Tony Schiavone was for many years. He's just withdrawn from wrestling at this point.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I honestly enjoyed his commentary.
Yeah, they need to bring him in for something.
And just in terms of the knowledge and like taking it seriously, just in that way.
Yeah, so Don Shay, do you have a question, buddy?
Okay, I got one. Who are some underrated talents? Not by the company per se, but like by the fans. Like a guy that you felt like, okay, this guy has something, but other people probably didn't see it.
Hernandez was always Hernandez. My person. That was all. You know, this is kind of off topic of discussion. CM Punk, Shinsuke Nakamura, Okada, R-Truth. There's a lot of big people. Tyler Black.
Yeah.
A lot of people that they let slip through. Another person that I really liked was Consequences Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Suicide, I really liked just the character Suicide before he got unmasked. I really, really liked Austin Aries, but I didn't know he was a diva. I liked, what was his name? What was Amazing Red's big brother? I forgot.
Crimson.
I liked him. I loved Matt Morgan, too.
I'd say Douglas Williams.
And Magnus, both of them.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Team and singles, really.
Yeah. I was going to say Douglas Williams, or who else? I forgot who I was going to say. Somebody Oh, Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, Sanjay Dutt.
Is it him?
He's still there, isn't he?
He's in WWE as a producer, is he not?
Yeah. He's WWE.
So happy for him. Because he was one of the most underrated talents in TNA.
Honestly, one person that I really, really enjoyed that I don't get enough love is Abyss.
Yeah.
That poor bastard did what he could, man. They just fucked him around like WWE does Big Show.
Yeah. Especially, I feel like he was, the character was fucked, like, when they started that Dr. Stevie stuff.
I like, what was her name, dude? Daphne?
Daphne, yeah, Daphne.
Not to be a pig, but I loved her.
Oh, she's real talented. She's a great wrestler.
Creative and talent-wise, she reminds me of Nikki Cross, like what Nikki Cross should be.
Yeah.
In that kind of element and character and how fucking crazy Daphne, like, came off.
Oh, yeah, she took some crazy-ass bumps, too.
She's someone just like looks wise. She looks like she could be Sister Abigail.
Yeah, most definitely. Pulls it off well,
because I don't know where she signed to.
Oh, Daphne.
Yeah.
She's retired.
Ah, that's fair.
Yeah, because what was that girl named Rosie Nottolove? I think she fucked her up. Tom. Yeah, she did. Like, it was a botch happened during the match, and pretty much forced her to retire or something like that.
I actually really enjoyed when New Japan had a working relationship with them.
Oh, yeah. I got the Global Impact DVD when it was Wrestle Kingdom. It was one of Wrestle Kingdoms.
Yeah, dude, that was one of my favorite. That's how I knew New Japan was a thing. Cause fucking they would do an hour of New Japan Impact after Impact, so it was like 3 hours.
Yeah,
I remember that, dude. That made me so happy because I was like, first of all, they're fighting in a square ring.
Yeah,
and I got to see Japanese talent that I didn't even know existed. Because they would be brainwashed. I thought that was the only people in town. I was dead ass wrong.
I need to watch it again now that we're talking about it right now.
I know, dude.
All right, then, fellas. Well, before we get cut out again because of the terrible signal, I've been just going to wrap it up. It's getting late. Thanks so much, Donche, for being on the show. I feel like we're going to have a bunch more episodes with you in the future. It's been awesome, man. Sorry about all the technical difficulties.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
We're gonna do it in a house with good Wi-Fi next time.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Donche is one of the admins on Geeks and Body Slams. It's one of the wrestling groups on Facebook. If you're not a part of it, go ahead and join it. You can find me and Tyler on Facebook at Tyler Tenacious the Lord. Find me at Daniel J. Dennison. You can also find me on Twitter at @TH_BRIT_KAD. But yeah, folks, thank you very much, Donche, for coming on. This has been the Big City Slams podcast. Keep tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.